Good evening. So glad to see you out again with us. Good to have you here. I know many of you are having to hold on to the seat to have to keep from going out and playing in the rain. I'm not far from it myself. I'm glad to see it rain. I know how bad we need it. Even if it's a mere inconvenience for me, some of you it means more than that too. So we're glad to see the weather come through, and we hope that it lasts and we get a little bit more. If you turn to John chapter 9, we're going to stay in John today. And we're going to stick with our theme of events that John tells us about that the other Gospels don't necessarily address. How would you like to see a miracle? And no, I'm not offering to perform one here in front of you. But have you ever thought about that? Have you ever been reading in the New Testament and you read about Jesus or one of the apostles performing a miracle and you think, wow, if I could see that, that would change everything. If I could perform a miracle, well, that would be really neat. But then I could really get the attention of that friend that I talked to that I feel like I'm beating my head against a wall with. Wouldn't it be great if they could see a miracle? Maybe not for me, I believe. But for those around me, those friends, those family who, for some reason, doubt, wouldn't it be great to show them a miracle? You may remember, it's been a couple of years ago now, there was a debate over in South Carolina between a Christian man, a member of the church named Kyle Butt, and an atheist named Dan Barker. And they had the opportunity to stand in front of an audience and debate the question, does the God of the Bible exist? And I didn't get to witness this. It was televised and made available over the internet. You could watch it. And I believe it's archived and you could go look it up and find it. But Apologetics Press is the organization that Kyle Butt works for. And their charter, their reason for existing, is to publish and sponsor research and evidence for creationism. Basically, they are trying to fight against atheistic propaganda. And they've published a small book that I'm sure you could find, addressing the issues that were brought up in that debate. And my dad has a copy, and I was down there a couple of weeks ago, and I was flipping through because I found it interesting. And I was able to kind of skim through and read some of the arguments that Dan Barker made. And this is the atheist man. And he presented a lot of arguments, and he didn't make a whole lot of sense, and so on and so forth, about what you would expect. But one of the questions that Kyle Butt put to him was this: Mr. Barker, what would it take to change your mind? What would it take to convince you that the God of the Bible is real? And Mr. Barker said, well, that's easy. I'll tell you exactly what it would take. If you could pray to your God and he could tell you that at 7:15 tomorrow evening, he would appear in my living room, and I was there at 7:15 and he appeared in my living room, then I would believe. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Because it's not new. People have been saying that for generations and generations and times and times. Specifically reminded of Matthew chapter 16. And we're getting to John 9. But in Matthew 16, we have this specific time when the Sadducees and the Pharisees come before Jesus and say, show us a sign. You claim to be from God. Show us a sign. And in that particular instance, Jesus responds and says, a wicked generation asks for a sign, but the only sign you'll get is the sign of Jonah. And there's a whole lesson that we could go into about what that meant and why he responded that way and all that. But we'll talk about that another time. Show us a sign. We want to see the supernatural. We want you to prove yourself. But you know what? And this is how Kyle Butt responded to Dan Barker's claim that if it could be predicted down to the minute when Jesus would appear in his living room that he would believe. He said, how specific your request is. What if it were off by a few minutes? Well, then you wouldn't have to believe, would you? Because it wasn't exact. And I'm putting my tone of voice, I'm reading into this, so you know. There are people all through time who have questioned God, who have wanted to see a sign, who have wanted proof. And when proof was handed to them, how do they react? How do they respond? John chapter 9 is a great study of this, and this is where we're going to go. Basically, this is the story of Jesus healing a blind man, and we're familiar with the story. Jesus is leaving the temple with his disciples, and he sees a man that's been blind since birth. This is a man who's never known anything but darkness. And the disciples noticed this man, and they asked Jesus the question, why was this man born blind? Was it something he did or something his parents did? And Jesus said, neither. He said, this man, this instance is so that God may be glorified. And he continues to heal him and demonstrate the glory of God in this situation. He spits on the ground. He makes some mud. He puts it on his eyes. Tells him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man does that and comes back seeing. Now we're going to spend a lot of time on the rest of this, but I want to take a moment and realize what we've just said. Here's a man that was born blind. Never been able to see. And he can see. We can't do that today with all of our medical knowledge and wizardry. There's some people we can help. And I'm wearing contacts and I wear glasses and we can help people. But there's nobody born blind who's able to see. This is a miracle. This is a supernatural event. This is not something explainable through natural processes. Jesus Christ performed a miracle. He made the blind man see. I don't want to lose that significance as we go through and we talk about the rest of this. But let's pick up in verse 8. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is this not he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. I'll add to my long list of wishes that they would give the man a name, because throughout this I'll struggle to refer to him as the man who was formerly blind or the man who was cured of his blindness. I wish they gave him a name. But they didn't, so we'll deal with it. This is the first reaction to the miracle. These people, they didn't witness the miracle, but they're talking to the man. They knew he was blind from birth, and they're talking to him. He's seeing now. He confirms his identity. Their first reaction is, surely this is not the man that was blind because he can obviously see. And someone says, well, that's not him, that just looks like him. And someone else says, no, that's him. And he says, it is me. I am the one who was blind, and I can now see. Well, how did this happen to you? Well, a man named Jesus came and he made clay and he put it on my eyes. He sent me to the pool and I washed and I can see. Well, where did he go? Well, I'm not sure where he went. Nowhere in this do they believe. And isn't that what we think when we look at this miracle and we think, man, if I could see that, if I could talk to that man who was formerly blind and I could say, tell me about it. What's it like to see for the first time? How could you not believe when this man who's standing in front of you and you knew he was blind and you know he can see now, you know there's been a supernatural event, how could you not believe? And yet, what did they do? They questioned. Well, what happened? Well, how did this go on? And where did he go? And we're never told that they believed, that it changed their position. And we find our first reaction to the miracles, when they occurred, was doubt and questioning. Verse 13, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. You know, we're not really sure what's going on here. We think this is the man who was blind, and he seems to be able to see now. He's told us this story. Let's take him to the authorities. Maybe they can figure out what's happened. There's nothing to figure out. The man was blind. The man can see. A miracle has occurred. How did this happen? Where is he? Let's take him to the authorities. Maybe they'll figure it out. And we think to ourselves, if I could see a miracle, if I could talk to that man, if I could take him, introduce him to my friend, then they'd have to believe. And yet, what happened there? They doubted. They questioned. And brought him to the Pharisees. And our Pharisees are going to show us the second reaction that people had to miracles in that day. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, aha, injecting that. This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Really? That's where you're going? A man who was born blind can now see, and you, oh, we've got him now. He did work on the Sabbath. He made clay. And he put it on his eyes. And he told him to do work. He told him to go wash. See, he must not be from God. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Is that not the most amazing reaction that you can imagine? Put yourself in their shoes. You meet someone who was blind and can now see. How do you respond? Wow, that's amazing. Tell me about it. No. Oh, well, the man who did it must not be from God. It was a Sabbath day. And he worked. Their hypocrisy is not unnoticed. Because others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was division among them. The ridiculous nature of their response, oh, he must not be from God because he did work on the Sabbath, is noticed even by those who agree with them. You see, these Pharisees are guilty of the same thing that people in Dan Barker's position are. They've already made up their mind. We'll see that later on. They've already concluded that Jesus cannot be from God. This cannot be the Messiah. And so whatever evidence is put in front of us, we will explain a way, we'll find a way around it, we'll find a way to stand with our position that we've already taken, regardless of what you say. To continue, they said to the blind man again, what do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes. He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. You know, I'm not really sure you were blind in the first place. Maybe that's the mistake. Maybe you're fabricating this whole story. Let's get your parents in here. And they bring the mother who bore a blind son. And they bring the father in who guided his son around obstacles because he couldn't see them himself. They bring his parents in. And they ask them, saying, "Is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" Can you imagine the position that that put his parents in? They know he was blind. And they know he can see. And instead of being able to be excited and be happy about it, they're being grilled about whether he was really blind or not. But we find in their reaction, we find that the Pharisees had already made up their minds and had already prescribed sanctions against those who would claim that Jesus was the Christ. And for the parents to say, "This man did this, performed this miracle," is the same as saying he is the Christ, and therefore they can't make that claim, else they'd be put out of the synagogue. To continue, his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." These Pharisees are bound and determined to find a way to defend their indefensible position, because they had already said, if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. And they're trying to find any way to defend that position. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." They've already made up their minds. And so this man who was healed is put on the spot. Said, "We know that Jesus is a sinner. And you say that he opened your eyes and you're able to see now. Call him a sinner with us." He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." The evidence is in front of you. Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Can you sense his frustration in dealing with this? It's easy for us to look back and think, "Wow, if I could show my friend a miracle, if I could talk to this man and I could introduce him to my friend, then they would believe." But this man who could see for the first time in his life is put on the spot, is grilled, is given a full investigation of his background to determine if he's telling the truth. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." The man says, "You have taken an indefensible position. You have rejected the truth that is staring you in the face." They continued to deny what is right in front of them. They answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they cast him out. How dare you presume to tell us who's from God and who's not? We are the religious authority. Get out. They couldn't explain it away. They couldn't accept it. They'd already put out the proclamation that if anybody believed in Jesus, they couldn't be in the synagogue. So what do? They throw him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And then he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. One individual. Out of this very public event, one individual. Supernatural event. Miracle has happened. The blind can see. One individual believes. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind." It's easy for us to read through the New Testament and think, wow, if I could have been there, it would be so much easier. And yet when we look at what actually happened, and here's the good news, I can tell you about a miracle. Because we have the firsthand account. A man who witnessed it wrote it down for us. And we can read all about it. This one. And others. The Bible's full of them. First-hand accounts. If you could pray to your God and He could tell you that at 7:15 tomorrow evening He would appear in my living room and I were there and He did, then I would believe. Would you really? What if it happened to someone else and they told you about it? Would that be enough? Well, I don't believe it happened. Would you? Would you find a way to deny if it did happen to you? That's what the Pharisees did. Would you question and doubt? That's what his friends and neighbors did. Or would you believe? How good a source do you need? Does it have to happen to you, or does it have to happen to your neighbor, someone you already know and trust? You see how it works? We have a first-hand account. The man was there, wrote it down. What does it take? One man believed in this instance, but we're faced with the same question. What will we do with this story? Will we believe? Do you believe that it happened? That the man who was born blind and had never known anything but darkness can all of a sudden see simply because he washed the mud off of his face? That's what we face. That's the question that they faced as they heard about it. It's a first-hand account. John saw it. John wrote it down. Told us all about it. We've still got the miracles. Not that they're happening today, but we've got the first-hand account. And we can tell about them. And we can see how people reacted then. And maybe it will temper our expectations about today. But you know what? There was one who believed. He said, "One thing I know, I was blind and I can see." Christ had an effect on his life. He changed his whole world. As you read through the gospel accounts, as you read through the history of Jesus' time on this earth, he affected everyone around him. Some in a positive way. He changed lives. And some went from him telling all about him. You've got to come meet this man. You've got to come meet the Messiah. We found him. And others saw him as a threat. If he is who he says he is, then I'm going to lose all my power. and everything that I've built my life on is wrong, so he can't be. So I've got to find a way to explain away everything. He came to this earth. He affected everyone that he was around. And he will affect you in one way or another. We're told that no man can serve two masters. Which will it be? Will he affect our lives in a positive way? Will we go from this place telling our friends and neighbors, you've got to come meet this man. He can change your life. He can take away your sin. He can put you in a right relationship with God. Or do we deny him? Deny his power. Try to go live through our lives without him. Those are the only two choices, friends. And we stand ready to help you tonight, whatever your choice may be. If your choice is to come join with him, to hear about him, to believe what the witnesses said, to repent of your sins, to turn from them, to confess his name and submit to baptism as he commanded, we stand ready to help you. If you instead need to return to him, we stand ready to help you there as well. If you'll come as we stand and sing.
As Jesus will return.